Of you have actually received a letter before, a physical letter, okay? Not WhatsApp, not Telegram or whatever, a physical letter. And have you received a note or a text from someone special that you will keep on reading and reading and reading it until you get the intent of that message, of that letter? And it makes you want to fall in love more and more with the writer, isn't it? Next slide, thanks. I still remember one of the first letters that Corinne, my wife, has written to me. And one of the sentences, it writes this way, you and I are made for worship. So this sentence actually challenged me to think about our relationship. What is it for? Is it for ourselves only, to satisfy our own desires? Or do we live for ourselves only? Actually, no. That statement itself challenged us to live beyond ourselves, to live for God and His glory and for His people's sake. Likewise, next, when Paul wrote the letter to the Rome in prison, most likely in AD 62. The purpose of writing this letter is to encourage the Philippians to live a life worthy of God's calling, to live as citizens of a heavenly city, growing in their commitment to serve God and to serve one another. And of course, when Paul is writing all this, Jesus is the supreme example of this life and this way of life, which we will explore in a moment. Let us pray. Father, Lord, we come to you and ask of you to grant us the wisdom to appreciate your word, to understand your word, and to apply your word into our life. So be with us as we hear your voice. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. The first point, the appeal, love, unity, and humility, found in verse 1 to 4. And in this segment, Paul is challenging the Philippians believers to be united as one. He's appealing to them to live a life worthy of God's calling in Philippians 1:27-30. And now the challenge is not just external pressure, but the inner conflict within the body of Christ. And Paul knows the struggles of the church very well. And he asks his hearers to make his joy complete by having the same mind, having the same love, having and being in full accord and of one mind. His joy is complete when there is total, absolute unity in the church. Having the same mind of Christ and the love of Christ is in the center of it all. That is what Paul is trying to challenge his people then. And how is it possible to have the same mind, the same love, being in full accord and of one mind, you may ask. And Paul continues to explain in verse 3 and verse 4. Here in the text that he says that true unity can actually be obtained by absolute humility. And what is humility according to Paul's letter and his thinking? True humility is not thinking lesser of oneself, but thinking less of oneself and more of others. It's not a fake kind of humility. It's not to act like a hypocrite at all, but it's constantly to think life is more than just yourself. And to be honest, in Singapore, we are living in a world that is fast-paced and always ever-growing. And constantly we are thinking of ourselves, and it's not wrong actually, because there are so many things to think about as well. But it cannot be the only thing that we do all of our life. It will be quite sad if we think of our life only. And what makes matters worse is that the world that we are living in is the same as in Paul's time. It calls us to be self-absorbed, calls us to be self-centered, and it calls us to be constantly ahead of others and put down others. And it can be seen through the use of our social media. is sometimes you can look at some Instagram or TikTok shorts. It's constantly about taking the perfect shot, editing and editing and editing, and so that you can get the most light. And it's always boasting of ourselves and no one else. And it's about being one up above other people, and it's always about you. However, there is another quality that Paul also mentioned here, and it is love. And when you think about it, love and humility comes hand in hand, isn't it? When you have love in your heart, you will have humility in your dealing with people, in your ministry and in your service. As much as humility can be felt, love can be felt as well. Many of times we feel love more than we can feel humility, and in the things that we do for each other. And love can be seen or unseen sometimes. And like just what we prayed earlier on, love can be expressed in many different ways. In the recent Chiang Rai mission trip, I've been following their WhatsApp updates, but I never put out any photos because I don't know whether are they shy or not. So these are some things that they did. They sang their heart out. They danced with their God-given gifts. They bond with the youth through games. They share their personal testimony that's meaningful and impactful to the people. And they preach Christ and Him crucified only. And many have received Christ through the outpouring of the Holy Spirit working in and through the ministry of the people in Chiang Rai. And of course, it's also fueled by the people back in Singapore who are constantly praying with them. And love is using God's given gift to glorify Him through serving the world. And this is love. People can feel the love in which you can offer and give. And in our church, people will know whether you really love people or not. They can feel it. They can sense it as well. Sometimes it can be seen, or sometimes it cannot be seen at all. But sometimes love cannot be seen, but it can felt. It can be felt in the heart. And now we want to look at the love of Christ towards His Father. Next. After the appeal of unity, love, and humility, Paul wasted no time in introducing his Savior and his Lord. Jesus is the perfect example of love, unity, and humility. And it can be found on the cross of Christ. And who is Jesus according to Paul, you might be asking. And clearly in verse 6, in Paul's mind, Jesus is God, fully God, the second person in the Godhead. Yet He Himself humbled Himself to do the will of His Father. He knows His position with God, and He has a personal relationship with God. However, He emptied Himself by taking the form of a servant to be incarnate as a human to do the Father's will. And the incarnate Christ is the greatest example of humility and love that Jesus has shown to the world. He was willing to forsake all He has, His heavenly status, to be human, to be a human just like one of us. And He didn't just become a human per se. He went to the cross. The most painful death of that time. The most shameful death on the cross. Because at that time, the cross is meant for criminals only. Only a sinner will hang on a tree. Definitely, Jesus was not a criminal at all, for Jesus is the sinless Savior. He speaks about His love and obedience and humility to do the Father's will. He does whatever His Father requested. There's no but. Let me think about it. Let me get back to you. No. There's no such thing. There's only absolute obedience to the Father. There's only absolute love to God the Father. And because of his love, his humbleness and obedience, God the Father exalted him to the highest place. His name is far greater and far above all other names on earth. For at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And this, all this is for the glory of God. Have you come across such a name, such power and authority in a name? Many of us claim to know so-and-so, right? Do you know him? Do you know his name? Do you know what he can do for you? What can he offer to you? In my phone, I got two very important names, I realized, in my own limited network. I have the Chief of Navy phone number in my phone. Okay, I don't tell you who is it, you know about it. And I have the Synod Moderator of the Presbyterian Church also in my phone number as well. But do you know that sometimes these names can do some great and wonderful things for you, right? Isn't it? You just make a phone call, you can have all the network that you need, and they can pull not just one string, but many strings for you, just to make it happen. Sorry if I mentioned your name just now, talk about you without your permission, please forgive me. A name in your mobile number that you can call also in time of need and in time of crisis. Do you have that name as well? A name that stands the test of time. A name that will never let you down. My brothers and sisters in Christ, Jesus Christ is the only name that you ever need. You don't need to save in your phone. You can save it in your heart. Yet Jesus Christ humbled himself to love the Father and to do the Father's will. The incarnate Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Just as the incarnate Christ came to serve and give his life as a ransom for many, the name of Christ that saves us, redeems us, reconcile us back to God the Father. And he is also for us as believers of Christ to point others to Christ and not to ourselves, to show them Christ in all that we do. And this is what we do when we say we believe in the name of Jesus Christ. It's not about us. It's not about us. It's all about Jesus. And so do you know of this song as well? The lyrics of this song goes something, just two sentences. This is how we know what love is. Just one look at your cross. It's a song that I grew up with and it ministered to me. It captured totally what is love all about. Or perhaps many of us have ordered online shopping things that the Ninja's van will come and then deliver the package to you at all times, sometimes in the middle of the night, sometimes at 9 a.m. in the morning, at any time. And do you know something about Ninja as well? Not just the Ninja van, but Ninja. Most of us know that Ninja are actually highly skilled people, right? They are so good that we hardly see them around at all. They are constantly working in the background. They come at you at night without you knowing, and they come to you when you least expected them. And sometimes, my dear brothers and sisters in Christ, in our life and in our ministry, we do acts of service. Sometimes we are like ninjas, isn't it? We work in the back end. We work at the background. Nobody knows how hard we work. Sometimes nobody appreciates how well you have done. Nobody see you at work at all. We can be praying on our knees. We can be thinking of others. We can be visiting others, people in the hospital, in every kind of setting as well. We can be talking to people and sharing Christ to people. We are constantly doing good deeds in the name of Christ. But nobody thanks us at all. And the worst thing is, sometimes nobody knows about it as well. But that is what love is, isn't it? To do things that is unseen. And that is the beauty of love. When we do everything out of love for God, it's not no longer for ourselves, it's for the glory of God. And love happens when inconvenience come into play. Love happens when sacrifice are needed. Love happens when nobody knows what we have done for the Lord. Love happens when it is done for the glory of God. And I grew up loving this quote. It says that one life will soon pass, but only what's done for Christ will last. Isn't it sweeter if we do everything in secret for the Lord? Only God knows about it. Isn't it better? It's no longer a showmanship. It's not to showcase or boast of ourselves and what we have done. But it's to know our position before our Lord, to know that He gets the glory. And in love and humility, we are doing that for Him. And love is a selfless service to the Lord when you are totally for God about yourself and it's for the glory of God. Next. The last point, the sacrifice, selfless service. And Paul knows his audience very well. He knows them with like the back of his hand, not just in their obedience in his presence, but also much more in his absence. Paul is talking like a parent right today. He knows how obedience is seen when you say something, but it's carried out regardless of it. Especially, obedience is very important when no one is watching. And that is what we want to see as well. And that's what Paul is reminding his readers. And it's likewise for us as we are reminded of God's, our obedience to God as well. And of course, there's a great connection between the obedience that's shown in Philippians chapter 2, verse 8, and the obedience that Paul expects of the Christian in Philippians 12, in verse 12. So the question remains for all of us today is, how is our obedience to God, to Christ, our Lord and our Savior? And yet, Paul didn't just stop there about obedience, but Paul talks about this phrase, work out your own salvation. What is Paul trying to say? Definitely, Paul is not talking about working for your salvation. It's very clear cut, right? He's not talking about it. If not, he will have demolished all of his gospel that he wrote, all his letters. But Paul is writing from a perspective that working from your salvation. That means you're already saved, hence you are working for the glory of God. And you have been saved through the finished work on the cross by Christ Himself. And Paul is specifically talking about our own salvation. We have to work out our own salvation. With fear and trembling, no one else can do it for you because it's personal. Working out your salvation is to show evidence of who you are in Christ. Just when you say that you are a Christian, your works should be able to prove to others that you are actually a believer of Christ because God is working in you and with you both to will and to work for His good pleasure. And as a believer of Christ, we are called to work within His will and for His glory only. So how then do we glorify God? Paul is saying that God's energy is in you and me to help us to glorify God and Him alone. God is with us as we serve Him. And according to Paul, in verse 14 to 16, it is almost important in how you serve, you know. You are to serve with a willing heart, a heart of a servant, just like our King. To be blameless and innocent as children of God, and to go into this corrupted world and to shine for Jesus Christ. But one who asks how to go into this world that we are living in, that is corrupted and not lure into its temptations and shine as light in the world. In the world that we are living, the world is corrupted. The world is constantly luring us away from Christ and into money, sex, and power, just like what Richard Foster wrote. And unknowingly, we have entered the world in that sense of money, sex, and power. That is why you heard of many scandals even within the Christian circle, and especially it's more painful in the Christian circle. And in verse 15, we need to shine as light in the world and not becoming like the world. And that's why Paul is saying, look at it, holding fast to the word of life. That's the only way that we can be true to God and not being lured into the world, so that we can continue to be beloved disciples of Christ who work for His glory. And in verse 17 and 18, the idea of pouring out as a drink offering, Paul here alludes to a practice among the Jews and the pagans in their sacrifice in those days. They pour wine and sometimes perfume upon an animal that was sacrificed to God or pagan gods. And this drink offering is actually mentioned in Numbers 15 and Numbers 28 as well. Paul is saying that with this idea of a drink offering that's coming, he too will be one that is to come as well. In the sense of his execution is real, it's coming soon, it is now. And Paul is using himself as an example of the sacrifice that is to come. The face upon the sacrificial offering of your faith. Hinted that there is a sacrifice, there is a priest, and there is a drink offering that makes the sacrifice and service even more precious. The sacrifice and the service were connected to the faith of the believers back then. And it's best to see that Paul's picture described them as priests and their faith as the sacrifice, to which Paul also included his own death as a drink offering to the Lord. And in the end, Paul encouraged the church to be glad and rejoice as he is poured out as a drink offering, meaning that his sacrifice is for the glory of God. In our world today, nobody will think that death is a gain. But here is Paul writing as in Philippians 1:21, "For to me to live is Christ and to die is gain." He is not afraid of death. In fact, he welcomes death in some sense, because he knows that his sacrifice in preaching the gospel is what he lives for, is his purpose, is his motivation for life. And Paul's life was going to be a sacrifice for Jesus Christ. Either in life or death, he knows that it is a joy for the Lord and for himself as well. And he wants his believers to hear and to adapt to this same mindset as well. And likewise for us here today, as we are hearing the word of God being preached, either on site or online, God's joy is in us. Recently, at our first company, BB Camp, I was greatly ministered by one of the selfless service of an officer. So the context is, we finish a whole day of program, we are having dinner, we have finished dinner actually, And the boys has cleaned up the area. But you know, boys being boys, or boys like men also sometimes, we clean not so well. So, and because of the night program, we are excited to go for a laser tag at night, that night. So, however, one officer stay back. Although it's a BB camp, she went on to clean the table. She took a towel and wiped it all clean. She didn't do it so that I can highlight in today's sermon. She didn't purposely do it. Hey, Pastor Ron, look at me, I'm cleaning. She didn't do it. She didn't do it with a camera focusing on her at all. And she did it out of the pureness of her heart. She wiped the table even when no one is looking. And I think that is the greatest example that I saw at the camp. She's doing it for the Lord and not for men to see. And she did it out of love for God. I believe this is not a once-off event because I spotted her last night as well doing the same thing. At a BB retreat. But it's a regular posture of a serving heart, a heart that is filled with Christ, and hence she served it. It speaks of a great commitment to the gospel of Christ, to use all that she has for the benefit of God's people and for the glory of God. And of course, I believe there are many good and godly leaders and servants in our midst as well, who have done great things for the Lord and not being mentioned at all. But remember, God knows your heart and your service. So what is Prinsep Street Presbyterian Church known for? It's my prayer and my hope for us as a church that we will love God and serve Him faithfully and selflessly all the time. Selfless service includes going the extra mile for the sake of the gospel. Selfless service is all about a growing and loving relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ and giving all that we have for the glory of God. Only when a person is right with the Lord, he will do everything right in the eyes of the Lord, and no longer for themselves, but for God and God alone. Amen.